UCL football fans, listen up. When you watch the UEFA Champions League with Heineken, you're never watching alone, even if you're watching alone. Heineken has teamed up with some of the world's greatest footballing legends to bring you the Heineken UCL Live. Seven legendary hosts to take you through every moment of seven unmissable UCL games, and they want you to get involved. Bring the banter and the rivalry, and you could win epic prizes. Tune in using the hashtag Heineken UCL Live on Twitter during match nights, and don't forget to enter the competition.
T's and C's apply. Not for persons under the age of 18. Drink responsibly.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Siza hlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to episode number 75 of the Car Wash, proudly brought to you by Heineken. Whether you are tuning in on slpodcast.co.za, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM's Game Time, welcome to the show. I am your host, Aiden, and of course, I am not alone. I am joined by former Ajax Cape Town and Mamelodi Sundowns goalkeeper. It's Sean Roberts. How are you doing, sir?
Aiden, great intro. Thanks, buddy. I'm fantastic. How are you?
Yeah, no, I'm a bit disappointed after last night, but we'll get to that later in the show. And I am also joined by former Bafana Bafana, Orlando Pirates and Mamelodi Sundowns star, the general himself, Teko Modise. What's cracking?
Yeah, what's crack-lacking, Aiden? How are you?
Yeah, man. Not too bad. But as usual, we start the show off with the joke of the day. Now, Sean, I believe in you. What have you got for us this week?
Well, you shouldn't believe in me because it's another cracker. What do you call a grumpy cow?
Moody. You know, I'm okay with that one because that one's more of a knee slapper.
That's beautiful. Oh, man.
But from there, we jump into pole position. Pole position. Pole position is a segment where we ask our fans a question on Facebook or a question on our WhatsApp group on the Supporters Club channel, and we get voice note replies. A lot of fans have expressed their opinions around the abuse that rampant Mamelodi Sundowns supporters hurled at the Al Ahly team bus, especially towards Pizza in this abusive ambush. Here's what they had to say.
You know, the mere fact that there were placards written with words that were really demeaning and insulting Pizzo Musimane is uncalled for. Pizzo is the son of the soil. Pizzo Musimane is a brand. He does not account to anyone. He does not answer to anyone. The guy is a brand. Pizzo Musimane is a brand.
You don't have to hate a person, a player or coach. Just hate the game. And it's unfair for the supporters to swear at him. That was totally uncalled for. After what he has done to Sundowns all these years.
My friends with Sundowns on what they did. I think it was not fair swearing at Pizzo, calling him obscene names. Pizzo has done a lot for Sundowns. I think they should have appreciated his contribution to rebrand the Sundowns. And I think overall it was not a good advert for the Sundowns. And it has damaged their brand.
Okay. Gents, talk me through this. I'm struggling to wrap my mind about this. Why do you think these fans showed such hatred towards Pizzo, holding the placards with swearing and just these derogatory terms? I mean, he's done so much for Sundowns, and not only them, but also South African football.
Yeah, well, not just South African football. It's I think it's football in general. I mean, certainly African football. And don't be surprised if he's... I think we've spoken about this, I mean, Teko. I think Teko told us is that I think his goal is to be a coach in a World Cup. Is that right, Tex?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
And without a doubt, he's gonna make that happen. But the scenes that we saw when Al Ahly were here were just short of embarrassing, I would say. What he's achieved in this country, what he's achieved for Sundowns. Yes, Sundowns have had an open checkbook for how many years, but you need someone to drive that, and Pizzo has been the guy. And I think it just shows an utter disrespect. It's embarrassing as a neutral like myself, as an ex-Sundowns player as well. It's embarrassing. And you know, he's such a brand that he's made himself. And yes, of course, when you're at that level, there are, you have to deal with this sort of stuff. But I just don't think that this was warranted in any way. I really don't think there's a lot of jealousy involved. I don't think he even shook the hands of the coach of the Sundown City after the victory. I think he just walked off, but and rightly so, in my opinion. He was obviously disgusted. He was hurt, I think, more than anything. Mm. I don't think he felt he deserved that. It's just not nice to see. It just leaves a very really sour taste in my mouth.
Yeah, dude. We understand the importance of the fans, and we highly highly appreciate them. You know, they make the game better, and especially when they support their teams, and we always speak fondly of the fans, and we still, you know, wish that the fans are back in the stadiums. And to see what happened to Coach Pito, it's highly disappointing. And it's, for me, it's like Shona said, I think it's embarrassing for South African football. Because as much as I understand the tension of the game that is there, you know, but let the players and the coaches fight for that. And by you, probably, you know what, let me say this. If you remember a couple of days before the game, there were fans that was, I think Pito took a picture with a couple of fans that are wearing Al Ahly jerseys. I think from there was a confusion then, because of those fans. I think they are, you know, the leaders of certain branches around Pretoria. So they were regarded as traitors. So now coming into the game, so now because of the misunderstanding, and now fans starting to react, which I will never, never, never condone, because that's wrong, number one. Number two, and I strongly believe and feel like real, real fans of Mamelodi Sundowns really adore and love the coach. And they respect him because they know what he has done. But there's always going to be those guys that wants to show off, or that wants to come out and show that they support Mamelodi Sundowns, whereas they're not true fans and supporters of the team. I strongly believe that those who are wearing those Sundowns merchandise or whatever that they were showing that the Sundowns fans, they're really, really not. Because Sundowns fans don't behave like that. They don't treat people like that.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, we're generalizing now, you know, although we're disappointed, like you said, Tekko, that's probably not the diehard Sundowns fans that are out there. I think they're a bit more respectful and a bit more appreciative of what Pitso's done.
Yeah, of course.
For sure.
But still, sad scenes.
Yeah, no, very disappointing, I must say. It just doesn't matter what league, what country, like that just doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, man. No. Because it doesn't matter which coach as well.
Exactly.
You know, because I understand that it always comes back to, but do the fans remember what Coach Peter's done for Sana? Irrespective of that, you can't behave like that. That's not football. You can't come out with a placard that says F you, coach, and whatever the case might be. It doesn't work, irrespective of who was coaching there. It doesn't matter, you know. I strongly believe that whoever that was should be found. You should be dealt with, because we can't.
There's a video circulating and just full body portrait, face, everything.
Yeah. Like, no, you need to be dealt with. Very easy to identify. Because we can't be condoning such things, you know.
Yeah, sure.
If it happens to the best coach that we've ever had in the country,
ever.
So imagine other coaches. Because if this is not dealt with, which means, you know, this is going to continue. Other fans are going to come out and behave the way that they whoever that behaves. So he needs to be dealt with, so that they can be an example that you can't behave like this.
So Tekko, do you think Safa is going to step in? Because if they don't, then other fans may go, okay, well, that was acceptable then, surely it's okay to do it again now.
Dude, they should step in, because number one, the priority is the safety of the coaches and the players.
Yes.
And by safety, meaning safety in terms of, you know, even before they go into the game, you know, you need to protect their mentality as well coming into this game, because it's the game of emotions as well. And yeah. I heard Coach Peter talking about the fans were swearing they're swearing him about the mom and all the type of stuff.
They insulted his family.
Exactly. So that's not cool. That's what I'm saying, that if this is not dealt with, there's going to be a new trend. And this is not South African football. This is not our fans. Irrespective of Mamelodi Sundowns, we don't have such fans anymore.
Look. Also, I mean, if you go to Europe and what those coaches and managers and players deal with, I still think it's absolutely nothing compared to what Pizzo went through now. But that's still no excuse. But I do think the more successful you get, the more enemies you get as well.
Of course.
The more jealous people you get.
Of course.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the PSL/SAFA deal with this. But certainly there needs to be action taken. 100%.
I strongly believe that that guy was holding that placard. I'm sure.
That one.
I'm sure that guy, he doesn't behave that way at home. I think on the street it's his chance to be, you know, one of those guys that wants to show up. At home there is just a that sits on the side and does nothing, and then he always wants to come and react on football. It's just that I hate such fans that react on stadiums like that. That comes to the games and try and spoil the game like that. So I just don't like them. Because they think that they're more important than the game themselves. And this fan needs to be dealt with. Finish and clear.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Well, let's stay with Sundowns. CAF Champions League, guys. Pizzo did hit what he's being paid for. He did his job. Him and Al Ahly came victorious to Sundowns, winning 3-1 on aggregate. What are your reactions to that? To those two legs, rather?
Well, I think me and... Did I get this right? This result? And I think Teko got the...
I think both of you said a draw. Teko.
I think Teko said a Sundowns win, but Al Ahly to go through.
Yeah, that's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I said a 1-1 draw, and then Teko said a Simba victory, but Kaizer Chiefs to go through. So you got that one right. But yeah, it was a interesting game, eh? I mean, by no means were Sundowns outplayed. I think Al Ahly they showed their class when they needed to, put it that way. Sundowns had their opportunities for sure, but in my eyes there was always going to be one winner at the end of the game, to be honest, in terms of aggregate. I think Pizzo was just so calm throughout everything, so controlled. And it hurts me to say this, but it's a well deserved 3-1 aggregate victory for Al Ahly, to be honest.
Yeah, man.
Decker?
Yes, sir. With that 2-0 lead coming into South Africa to play a second leg, it's especially with Al Ahly, it's always going to be difficult. Mm. Of course, you know, as a football fan, as a South African football fan, you always want to see your South African teams going forward, but it was always going to be difficult, especially playing against a team and a coach that knows how to win. And they are a team that is built for big stages, so they can always come and show up in big games. And you could see even the smiles when they arrive. Because for me, I look at the body languages. You know, you look at the images of them when they arrive. You look at them in their first training session. You can see these are people that knows exactly. They're prepared. They know exactly what is it that they need to do. You know, they're not stressed and all that type of stuff. So it was always going to be difficult for Mamelodi Sundowns. But yet again, they played against a very, 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 you know, disciplined and a good side. So
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And in the other quarterfinal match of the match day, so to say, well, mainly for South African fans, Kaizer Chiefs progressed to the semi-finals. You know, after winning 4-0 in the first leg, I think majority of football fans on the continent were like, okay, they're sitting comfortably. Well, Simba put up a good f***ing fight there. They still progress, Chiefs, 4-3 on aggregate. Guys, what did you make of that game?
Unbelievable. I think the Chiefs' technical bench must have aged about 20 years. it's hard to fathom. It's a great result for Chiefs, don't get me wrong. And then now they go blow it against Leopards again. Was it yesterday or the day before where they lost?
I think it was yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah, I, unbelievable, man.
Consistently inconsistent.
Yeah, just such a roller coaster season. And I'm obviously happy for Chiefs because I like Chiefs. We know that. But to lose 3-0, it's a biggie, and then come back and to lose to Leopards, I don't know what needs to change, but there needs to be some drastic changes, and I hope they can continue now their form into the semis. I really do, because in a way they deserve it.
Yeah, Jacko.
Yes, sir. Look, man, if you really 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 want to win, the continental competition, There's certain things that you need to do right, whether defensively or scoring goals. And for Chiefs, with this game, you look at the aggregate. You win in four, you go in and concede three. I'm sure, like Sean has said, I'm sure the technical team was shitting on themselves. You know, because you can't lose from a 4-0. It doesn't make any sense, right? And you look at now, you'd always want to see, especially South African teams, continue. And but for them actually to go all the way and be in the final, they need to think about how they need to differentiate between home and away.
Yeah.
You know, they need to play differently home and away. They need to know that even if it's 4-0, they still need to keep the game there alive and be able to manage the game. And with this scoreline, clearly they couldn't manage the game. Clearly they were under stress. And coming back home again to a defeat that happened yesterday with a team that is numberless, that they have got no business in winning against Kaizer Chiefs, especially, And it shows you the story of, the Kaizer Chiefs team as a whole this season, how emotional it has been draining for the players, the technical team, the management, everybody that's involved within the team, because the emotions are being a roller coaster, because you're happy today, next week you're super sad, and then the other way you can't even believe the result. I think that's always been the story of the Kaizer Chiefs family this season. But with those results, man, I think they need to be very careful. You can't play Simba home and win four and go there and concede three. They need to be careful if they really want to win this, irrespective of what happened yesterday against Black Leopards. But with Kev, it becomes different. It becomes difficult when you concede such goals, especially the number of goals that you concede.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
So we're going to revert it back to Sundowns. They've just been crowned PSL champions for the fourth time in five seasons. Guys, that's pretty insane stuff. Talk me through their season, guys. Themba Zwane and Peter Shalulile are just all over the PSL nominations awards list. It's theirs to win. They had an unbelievable season. The coaches did insanely well as well. The PSL, everything seemed to go right for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's... We were a little bit skeptical in the beginning in terms of their coaching stance they took, and we were a bit worried there might be a bit of a power struggle. We still don't know how that relationship is. It looks great on TV, but you just never know what happens behind closed doors. But it's working to win this season with three games to go. And it's been a competitive league up top. I mean, but it's always been Sundowns. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure Tech will echo me here. I don't think there was ever any doubt that Sundowns are with this league this season. They've got a powerhouse squad. Shalulile in his first season at Sundowns has been just short of miraculous. He's been extremely, extremely good. And when you've got players like that performing week in and week out, and I think that's, you go back to Chiefs, you talk about consistency or inconsistency. And we've gone throughout the podcast this season and we've spoken about that horrible 1-0 win for Sundowns away, or that 2-1 draw, that last minute, or that 2-1 win, that last minute penalty or whatever, and those you look back in the season, you think, that's what I'm talking about. And that's what Sundowns are able to do. That's that big match temperament, big players, consistent players. You look at the players that are not even making the squad, like George Manuleka, for example. It's frightening the depth that they have. And it comes with no surprise, and you saw that first half display against SuperSport yesterday, and they missed the penalty, for crying out loud. Congratulations, never in doubt in my opinion. And I think, you know, this fourth league in 5 seasons, I think it's going to be nine titles in 10 seasons. I really do. I think it's going to be Sundowns all the way until something drastic happens in the PSL. But I don't see anyone touching them or coming close to them, to be honest. It's been a pleasure to watch, and they're only going to get better and better.
Teko.
Now, Aiden, I remember around 12 midday yesterday, I told you that Sundowns are the champions, and you were surprised that you asked whether Sundowns have been crowned already. Because
And you need facts, Teko. You need evidence. I mean, there was evidence, but it wasn't like your name wasn't on the trophy officially, you know.
No, it's because the reason I said that is I remember in 2014, 2015 season, where Sundowns had to win their first league with under Pito. They were playing SuperSport at the same venue that they were playing yesterday, and I think with the game in hand, and the score was 3-0. Sundowns won, you know, one of those most difficult games, and yesterday it was the same thing where they needed to win this, you know, the league against SuperSport. And if you look at the history between SuperSport and Sundowns, you know Sundowns has dominated that fixture for a long time. And also you look at the game, you know, on the 7th minute, SuperSport gets a red card, so it changes the whole complexion of the game. And you know what happened yesterday? Now, SuperSport gets a red card from a winger, right? 7 minutes into the game, boom, red card out. Now, as a coach, now you're forced to do subs or to change tactically that you are not even prepared, but you need to be, you know, thinking you must be on your toes all the time. So now here's what Kaitano Temba does. He takes Breckin Hopla, who's the leading top goal scorer of the league, plays him as a right winger, and then he leaves Gabuza as a striker. And then a few minutes later, he takes out the most creative player in the team. He takes him out, he puts on the wing. That's when I realized that there's a problem tactically. There was no way they were going to come back from that game. There was no way they could even stand a chance of coming back into the game. Number one, the most dangerous person, you're playing him as a right winger. I don't know what your expectations are of him. Number two, the most creative person that you have in the team, you're taking him out, which means you're saying, I don't need any creativity. I just want people to run and fight. For what?
Mm. Nothing to lose.
Exactly. For what, guys? You know, I was very disappointed with the tactics of SuperSport yesterday, especially after the red card, because that's why we look at the coach now. The coach, do something. Tell us something that you haven't told us before. But look, Sean, we speak about Bradley Krobler week in, week out, how dangerous he is inside the box. Now you're taking him to go and tackle and defend as a right back. Dude, the first thing that you do, because we've got two strikers, was playing 4-4-2. First red card, sacrifice one striker, leave Krobler left. Put on a wing if you want to put on a wing.
Yeah.
But you can't take off your creative player, because once you win the ball, who's going to be creative and create those chances? He's out. Which means you're saying, hey guys, let's be on our bikes and let's run. It doesn't matter what happens. When we have the ball, let's go, let's run. That's poor tactics, dude.
But I like Kaitano. I think he's a very good coach. I think he's done a wonderful job with SuperSport. But it was very obvious at what needed to be done. Am I right?
True.
And I'm speaking as a non-coach here. So, it's just very, very bizarre. I agree with you 100%, Tech, but it was very, very bizarre.
I mean, you've got two strikers. You know, I would understand he was playing one striker. You're playing two. You're playing a 4-4-2. You got a red card of a right wing. Sacrifice one striker that can't even play a right wing. If the striker can play as a right winger, fantastic. If you can't sacrifice one, you leave your most dangerous player at his favorite position where he scores goals. That's it. He's got...
So bizarre.
No, it was weird.
So bizarre.
Anyway.
So, you know, and if I was Krobler as well, I don't think I would have been too happy.
Yeah.
You know, he obviously wants the golden boot.
Yeah, but anyway, congratulations to Mamelodi Sundowns. They continue with their dominance. And to be honest with you, Sean, I don't think, let's remind people what Sundowns went through this season. With a lot of changes that they went through, and they still managed to continue and do the business. You know, they lost the coach in the beginning of the season, the coach that has been there for so long. They lost two players, you know, that passed away, and they still continued. And it came this year as well. There was a change where the president of the team and to be the president of CAF, they needed to somebody to step in and become the new president, because there's been changes in that team. And with all this thing happening, and you must also remember when one of the players passed on, the league couldn't give them off time to grieve, so they had to, the player passed over, I think they passed on over the weekend, and Wednesday Sundowns had to go play. There's a lot of things that Sundowns went through this season emotionally, but they showed that they're a very classy team, and they managed to get through it, you know, as much as we don't know what happened behind, you know, closed doors, but I think there's a lot of work that's been done there, unlike on the pitch, because with those things, type of things happening around you, it affects you mentally, and I think there's a lot of stuff that has been done behind by the coaches, you know, trying to motivate players, trying to keep them calm, you know, keeping their emotion intact, because I promise you, most of the teams, if they can go, you know, they can face half of the things Sundowns face, this, they won't come back, and they just want to applaud the players for being strong enough, you know, to being professional enough, and you know, to continue doing what they're supposed to be doing, you know.
Absolutely. And we tend to forget all that stuff that's happened, to be honest. Yeah, thanks for reminding us, Seko. I mean, that's and it takes a special type of leadership in-house to keep the boys motivated and to keep them sharp. And so again, you know, we look as outsiders and we think, oh, you know, what a great team, but you've just reminded us of what they've actually gone through and the loss, the change of president, and that takes some special players, number one, and obviously it takes a couple of special leaders. But yeah, thanks, Tex. But I mean, let's move on, guys. I mean, in this week's edition of Le Duma Paper, there is a great interview done by Soccer Le Duma's Sipho Kekana with the late, well, not the late Bafana Kekana, but he's still alive. He's not alive, Molefi Nseki. In this riveting interview, Nseki opens up about his time as Bafana coach. For me, the key points were, Nseki was talking about why we always going foreign to try and get the answers in terms of coaching, and that's something we've always spoken about, Seko. Mm-hmm. You know, why can we not have faith in our local coaches? The politics in-house are unbearable with Safa. We know that. We've spoken about that. He talks about his two successful meetings he's had with Bafana coach Hugo Bruce, and how impressed he was with Bruce in terms of how much he knew of him personally and how much he knew of Bafana in general, especially in terms of the players. According to Nseki, Bruce's plans all along was to keep Nseki on as assistant coach, as so was Safa's idea to keep Nseki on as assistant, and then Safa last minute obviously changing their mind. A lot to go through. I do feel for Nseki though. I do believe he possibly didn't have the experience he needed to be the final coach, but I do think he would have made the perfect assistant, as he knew the current squad better than anyone. We've spoken a bit about this last week. Take on, I mean, we've spoken about the why are we always going looking foreign, and I completely agree with Nseki and yourself that surely there must be enough talent here to look local.
Look, there's plenty of talent, and the biggest problem that we've been talking about and we've been saying is, it's us believing in international coaches than our local coach. I just wish that, you know, somebody from SAFA can come out and tell us why they've got so much belief in those international coaches. Just because he has done it with Cameroon, then he's going to do it with us. Not understanding the type of players that Cameroon had, or Cameroon has. Do we need to be, you know, do we need to put our faith and trust on somebody that only saw our players via the internet, you know?
Right.
Yeah, and then we have coaches that are seeing these players week in, week out here, you know. Why don't we empower them, you know, give them the chance so that they understand the ropes and build around them. As much as you want to build a new team, have a new coach, build around them, the younger coaches, you know, local coaches that speak the language, that understand the culture of the team. You know, when Keegan is back, or when Bongani Zungu is back, whoever that is back, Pesita is back, they're able to speak and understand the language. Not that an African language, but, you know, our culture, you know, the football language that we speak in the country, that can understand. Because at the end of the day, as a footballer, you want to play under a coach that you want to play for.
Yeah, I mean, just add in there quickly, sorry to interrupt. You said, why don't Safa sort of... what's the word? I can't remember what you said in terms of educate coaches or employ coaches, but they did that with Nseki. They said he's done all these badges through SAFA. He was sent to Germany to go finish off his badges. So they really invested in him.
Mm.
And for what's just happened, it just sounds so bizarre that the obvious choice for me is to have if you're going to go foreign, okay, that's fine, but have a local assistant.
Yeah.
Surely.
Yeah.
But just that's 1 + 1 = 2, right?
Yeah.
And that was on the cards. And then all of a sudden it wasn't. And both coaches were surprised. And it's yeah, man. I don't know.
And you know, not to discredit our new assistant coach, which is Helman Kelly right now, but the thing is, Helman has been involved in under-20s for the longest time, and it's great that you have Helman within the helm, but you also want to have somebody that that knows. And that pays so much attention to the PSL players, because Bafana teams are be formed by those type of players. And then Helman will be the bridge and the gap for us from the youth development side to actually look at and bring into Bafana setup.
Sure.
But also those players that if they don't play in the regular teams, it's going to be difficult for us to bring them into Bafana setup. And that's the first thing. So therefore, SAFA needs to have a conversation with the local teams and make them understand that we need to have a number of certain players on the pitch of this age. Probably maybe make it a rule, whatever the case may be. Because there's no point in speaking, we're building Bafana team, but we don't see under 23 players in any of the teams, because teams are fighting relegation. They don't have time. But if there's a rule that is put somewhere that a certain number of players that can come back and be put on the lineup, you know, like what Germany used to do, I think things will change a little bit. But yes, Helman Keller will do us a great job, but we needed more active coach there as a Bafana assistant. But it also surprises me that Ziggy comes out and speaks now because he's been denied a job. You know,
he's emotional, bro. He's emotional.
Yeah, I get that. Trust me, he doesn't understand our emotions. We've been emotional ever since he took over. So the thing. Sure. So the thing is, we look, man. He was demoted, and he had those type of conversations, and they came out and said Nseki will be an assistant coach, right?
Yeah.
And it was also bizarre for us. I'm like, okay, so from a coach, now you come an assistant coach, and with a foreign coach, what are you going to tell him that you couldn't do, you know? And it came back again, and then SAFA changed, like, no, it was not official, now we're going to need another coach, blah, 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 whatever the case may be. It's unfortunate for Nseki, yes, as much as SAFA has invested in him, but SAFA has invested in the person that they could interfere. Mm. Even though they sent him to Germany to finish his studies, whatever the case may be, but they invested in somebody that they can interfere. When you're speaking of giving a local coach a chance, you're speaking of giving a local coach a chance, the way that you will give Pereira or whoever coach that you may employ into the country. If you give him a chance, respect him. You saying you want Ben McCarthy. Ben McCarthy says, I want to bring my own technical team that are local guys. Why don't you want to bring them? Because his technical team, most of them played in the Bafana setup. They understand. They've been there. They know. So give them the respect and give them the support. But I don't also blame SAFA. I mean, if you look at it, also in the PSL, the teams that are there, we prefer to sign a foreign player with not so much good quality and pay him double and a local player.
So
it's a South African thing. It's not just SAFA. Within the PSL as well, there's a lot of things that we're respecting guys that are coming out of South Africa with less quality to come in and do the job for us here, where we do have people that can be able to bring us justice into whatever issues that we have within the South African football.
Yeah. A lot needs to change, and we've been through this 100 times, but let's see what happens, eh?
What will be, will be. However, from there, we are going to head into the international news desk, but first, let's hear a word from our sponsors. UCL football fans, listen up. When you watch the UEFA Champions League with Heineken, you're never watching alone, even if you're watching alone. Heineken has teamed up with some of the world's greatest footballing legends to bring you the hashtag HeinekenUCL Live. 7 legendary hosts to take you through every moment of 7 unmissable games, and they want you to get involved. Bring the banter and the rivalry, and you could win epic prizes.
Tune in using hashtag HeinekenUCLLive on Twitter during match nights, and don't forget to enter the competition. Drink responsibly, not for sale to persons under the age of 18. T's and C's apply. Of course, the final is this Saturday, the 29th of May, 9 o'clock. Yeah. We are joined now by Sokola Duma International News correspondent Liam Becker. How are you doing today, Liam?
Morning, guys. All good this side. Thank you very much.
Morning, Ian.
How's it, Liam?
Hey, guys.
Liam, let's just kick it straight off the bat. Manchester United and Villarreal came up against each other last night, Wednesday night, in the Europa League final. Pretty boring 2 hours of football, considering it was 1-1 all the way to the end of extra time. Villarreal came through victorious, winning 11-10 on penalties. David De Gea was the only guy who finished the two-hour match who was on the field who doesn't have a goal to his name after that game. So I was watching the game. I was analysing a few things to the best of my ability. Do you think Manchester United missed Harry Maguire, his leadership qualities and his presence at the back, especially during defence?
Yeah, I think it's undeniable that you're going to miss a player like Harry Maguire. He's the captain. He's the leader on the pitch. And defensively, he's the one who's going to be organizing everything there. But I actually think their problems are more at the other end, to be honest. I think, you know, if you look at the way Villarreal set up, it was they were happy to give Man United the possession and welcome them onto them to let them attack. And United didn't really look like they were going to do anything apart from the goal Cavani scored, which, you know, was a bit fortunate with it being deflected and then him tapping in the rebound. But apart from that, they didn't really look threatening. And I think, you know, while Maguire was an obvious loss at the back, I genuinely think the problems were bigger at the front.
And I for sure believe that Villarreal's defence, you know, deserves a standing ovation. They took wave after wave of attack. Their captain, Raul Abidal, just blocked everything. He was, I was saying to Sean off air, if you had to say that they parked the bus, he would have been the driver. He was unbelievable. And on that note, you know, United haven't had the best run of form in the last like 4 or 5 seasons. What do they need to do to get back to winning trophies? I believe this is now the 4th season without silverware.
Yeah, 4 seasons, no trophies. I think this is the closest they've come since Jose Mourinho's tenure when he won the Europa League as well. And I think it's a lot of pressure is going to come on to Solskjaer now because the questions are going to be asked of him. Obviously, there's been improvement. They ended second in the Premier League this season. They've reached a European final, but without those trophies, it doesn't really count for much. So somewhere along the line, there needs to be change. They've invested a lot of money over the years in the likes of Maguire, Bruno Fernandes, and they're still not getting the results. So somewhere, something definitely has to change.
So I want to ask you one more question about this game. Obviously, Harry Maguire, the captain, wasn't playing, and the captaincy duties were given to Bruno Fernandes. He didn't perform like we know how he can. Do you think being the captain put too much pressure on him?
It's possible. It's very well possible. But Bruno Fernandes is a wonderful player. I mean, he's been carrying the team the whole season. And I think it's not just on his shoulders, the result last night. I think very few players put up their hands for United. I think they were second best to everything last night. He wasn't at his best by no means, but I don't think any of his teammates were either.
I think it's a good point you bring up, Aidan, because I remember me and Teko speaking when Raheem Sterling was captaining Man City, and he's just not a captain. Mm. He's a great player. Mm. And when he was captaining, he wasn't performing, and as soon as that responsibility was taken away from him, Man City completely shifted as a team, and obviously Raheem Sterling as well. So yeah, it's a good point.
Liam, last weekend it was officially confirmed that Robert Lewandowski had broken Gerd Müller's 49-year-old record, scoring 41 goals in a single Bundesliga season. Now, that's fantastic and all, and, you know, Ballon d'Or winning and everything, but what are your thoughts about the fact that Lewandowski did not win Player of the Season as Erling Haaland won that?
Yeah, that's a strange one. I'm not really sure how to explain that. You know, I mean, Haaland had a brilliant season on his own. I mean, he scored 27 goals in 28 games as well, which is impressive. And in any other season, you'd say, okay, you deserve to win the award. But like you say, 49-year-old record that Lewandowski smashed, 41 goals, 29 games. That's unheard of. That's That's talking Messi Ronaldo numbers from a few years back. So how Haaland's beat him to that award, I'm not sure, but we often see it with these fan voted awards that it does become a bit of a popularity contest. Yeah. And Haaland's very topical at the moment. He's very, very popular among the younger generation. And ultimately, I think that's how that's happened.
Yeah, and he's very active on his social media as well, which makes a massive difference, I think.
So you want to tell me, Sean, that if you're not active on social media, you won't win?
I'm just saying, if it's voted by fans, yeah, where he's interacting with his fans, and, you know, Lewandowski's not,
yeah,
it has a point to prove. Maybe Haaland, they want to sell him, and maybe this is a little inside scoop, you know, player of the season, his price goes up another 50 million, I don't know.
Jesus.
Yeah, take out that cash, Manchester United. So, going back to the Premier League, Liam, Liverpool somehow managed to finish in a Champions League spot. A month or so ago, they were sitting in eighth. They finished the season in third. All over social media, I've seen that people are saying that this is Jurgen Klopp's greatest achievement at the club. Do you agree with this statement, considering two or three seasons ago, he helped them win a Champions League?
I don't agree with that, no. And the funny thing is that it actually all originates from Klopp's comments himself. He was the one who suggested that it might be his greatest achievement if they do it. And I think it was really clever on his part too, because, you know, if Liverpool failed to win to qualify for the Champions League, then you'd look back and say, okay, well, it was always going to be an impossible task, you know, from the position they were in. So he was kind of protecting his players in that sense. But now that they've qualified, it almost it's even more impressive of an achievement. And it is impressive, don't get me wrong. I mean, with everything Liverpool have been through this season, with the injuries and the fact that with 10 games to go, they were 8 points outside of the qualification places. And now they've not just qualified fourth, they ended third in the league somehow. It's an incredible achievement. But Klopp's best? No. I mean, this is a man who... he won the Bundesliga with Dortmund, beating, I mean, this Bayern Munich team that is so dominant. He then rocks up at Liverpool, wins the Champions League, the Club World Cup, Liverpool's first Premier League title in 30 years, you know. So it's an impressive achievement, but it's definitely not his greatest achievement, no.
Okay, and lastly, Champions League final coming up this weekend on Saturday. What are your predictions? Which way do you think the pendulum will swing?
Come on, City!
Come on!
Sean, I was asking Liam, huh?
I happen to agree with Sean, though. I think City are gonna walk away with this one. I mean, that squad is incredible. Pep Guardiola is incredible. And I don't think, especially with Chelsea dipping off now towards the end of the season, I don't think they're gonna be able to beat City in the final.
And scoreline prediction?
Oof. I will go 2-1 to City. Mm.
Fantastic! Mm.
Thank you, Liam.
You know, City rival to my beloved Manchester United, I can't disagree with you. City have just been unbelievable this season. Pep is, you know, he's just fantastic as well. But yeah. Liam, thank you very much for the international news breakdown. That was Liam Becker, Sokola Doom international news correspondent. Have a fantastic day further.
Thanks, Liam.
Thanks, guys.
It is now time for This Week in Football History.
Today, we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
Champions League week, you know, UEFA week, history themed. Okay, guys, this week in 1985, there was a stadium disaster, the Heysel stadium disaster. This occurred when Juventus fans were escaping rampant Liverpool fans. Basically, Liverpool fans breached a fence or like a wall that was separating the two sets of fans by a neutral area. Allegedly, the Juve fans were like verbally abusing the Liverpoolians. Can you imagine how well that went down?
Sure.
And basically, a wall had collapsed because of the rampaging Liverpool fans and causing a terrace to collapse on a couple people. Unfortunately, a few people did lose their lives and many were injured. This week in 2005, I think one of the greatest European comebacks of all time, Liverpool 3-0 down against AC Milan, mm-hmm. Champions League final. Bang,
Stevie
Liverpool
G.
win 4-3. Stevie G, what a guy. And in this week, actually it was 22 years and one day ago, it happened yesterday in 1999, Manchester United completed their treble by beating Bayern Munich in the UEFA Champions League final, scoring two injury time goals, and the winning goal there, or the decider for that matter, was scored by Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Yeah.
can't win a trophy as a manager, but can definitely bang a few goals and win one as a player. And that is...
Wow.
Jeez. Kick a dog when he's down,
hey,
bro.
Hey, it's my team. I can say what I want about that. And oh that was God. This week in football history.
All right, let's move on swiftly, guys. Yeah, the PSL... on the 26th of May, or yesterday I think it was, announced a list of nominees for the 2021 PSL Awards.
Yes, sir.
The awards will take place on Sunday, the 6th of June at 8 PM and will be live on SuperSport PSL channel. Are you doing that, Teko?
No. What, the PSL?
Yeah.
No, I'm not. No, I don't have an invite, so I don't know.
Okay, I'm not surprised. What do we have here? Football of the season nominees. One of Teko's picks, Kutumela. I mean, I think if... And obviously Shadalile and Temba Zwane. And I remember Teko saying explicitly, like, you know, if there was no Shadalile, if there was no Zwane, Kutumela would walk it. And I do agree.
Yeah.
He's been fantastic, especially with a not-informed Maritzburg United.
Yeah.
Players' player of the season, again... the same three, which is always usually the case, as I found over the years. The coach of the season nominees, of course, Benny, of course, the Mamelodi Sundowns duo, and Arrows Mandla Nkazi. Nkazi.
Yeah.
How do I say it?
Nkazi.
Nkazi.
Yeah,
Nkazi. There we go. young player of the season, for me, Bongokukle Khlongwane. I think he's going to take it. There's Kamohelo Mplangu and Evidence Makupa from Baraka. Goalkeeper of the season, Lungwane from Arrows. Mortwas had a great season at Amazulu, and Dennis Onyango from Sundowns, who always seems to be there every single season. DSTV Premiership defender of the season, Labusa from Sundowns, Tobo from Swallows, Kuki from Amazulu.
Who's the two
midfielders? Midfielder Kutsia from Sundowns, Makula from Amazulu, and of course Zwane from Sundowns. There's so much going on here. I mean, there's, for me, you know, Shalali is mentioned in three of them, footballer, DSTV, and I think he's part of the Nedbank Cup as well, player of the tournament. Yes, he is. Do you think any of this is going to go against of what we thought, Teko, in any way? I think it's Shalali all the way, to be honest. Young player of the season for me has to be Bloom from Chiefs, unless you think something different. What do you think?
With football of the season, I'll look at the stats. Look at the numbers and also. I'll give a lot of credit to Kutumela because of, I know how difficult it is as an individual to carry the whole team and still bring your A game all the time, you know? You look at Temba Zwane, you'll be looking at, it's very rare to see a player that is just one football of the end being consistent the next season, because we've seen how it's been happening all through the years. You look at Peter Shalilile as well, you consider the fact that coming into your star-started Mamelodi Sundowns team and be able to fit like a club and perform the way he did, he's been one of the most influential players within the season. So both three of them, I think they deserve to be a nominee. So it can go either way, I'll be happy with that. With the coaches, I won't even entertain. With the young player of the season, I think I think this Evidence Mokop has been selected to be one of the Olympic players, like that. Like I've watched how Baraka plays. They rely so much on that boy. He might not score so many goals, but he's their top goal scorer, and he's done so well. I think with the better coaching, better quality players around him, the boy can grow. And we know how much we lack strikers within the country. Goalkeeper of the season, that's your favorite position.
Checker, who's your money on?
Clean sheets, Dennis Onyango.
Yeah.
Goes with the clean sheets.
Yeah.
It's not. Look, Veli Moto performed very well this year. There's a couple of games, I think, when Amazulu is going on like 6-7 games on the trot, Veli Moto.
Did you say Veli Moto performed very well?
Yeah, he was performing very well. He was very, very well. But also the thing is, you can't be looking at the portions of the season. You need to look at the whole contribution of the season.
You're looking at Mamelodi Sundowns only who lost one game so far. Only lost one game, and they're the least conceding team in the league. So there's a lot of stats that backs up Onyango to take it. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, fair enough. I do apologize. I said Njubulo Bloom was part of the young players, part of the most promising player, which is under 23 in the Nedbank Cup.
Yeah.
But don't discount Ungukukle Khlongwane from Maritzburg for the young player this season.
No, I don't. Again, I don't.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, in terms of a team that's not performing, and for someone who is performing at the highest level and such a young age, you've got to look at that.
Yeah, because the reason why I didn't speak about it, because Khlongwane has always been a supporting actor. You know, he's always been the one that backs up Kutumela or backs up Musiamedi. Now, in the second round of the season, now he started featuring more, especially playing on the right, sometimes playing as a striker. But he's never been a permanent fixture. But he's one of the most promising players in that team because he's very good on the ball. You know, he's got the heart, he's got the energy. But Evidence Mokopo has been playing regularly since last season.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a boy that's growing leaps and bounds with his team, and you also consider, you're looking at where Baroka is, you know, on the lock as well. Those type of things count, you know. But anyway, like all these nominees, yeah, I think they really, really deserve to be nominated. And to me, I think just to say this, Sean, you know, if you're a nominee within the league recognizes you. You consider yourself a winner because not many footballers get that opportunity to be nominated for anything within the PSL. So be grateful that you're getting recognition.
Yeah, agreed. Well said.
Absolutely. It's pretty evident that a Sundowns player or coach is going to win. However, speaking of awards, we'll turn that into bets. It's time for Place Your Bets. So, gentlemen, the UEFA Champions League final, as previously mentioned, kicks off Saturday, 29th of May, 9 p.m. Chelsea, City. I think the games have moved to Portugal to allow the British fans to travel in. I'm willing to put money on right now who I know you guys are going to choose. So what do you think the score is going to be, Sean?
2-0 Man City.
Checker.
2-0 Man City. Straightforward. We don't need to talk about tactics because Chelsea will never match Man City tactically.
But Thomas Tuchel has been doing some mad things in the background there. Do you not think it's like anywhere possible?
Man City are going to win 2-0.
Look, man, look at Chelsea. They always play with 6 to 7 defenders. There's no difference in the system that they're playing now with the one that Conte was using when he was there with fullbacks. There's nothing different. The only players that are attacking, that's three. Timo Werner, that misses everything.
Literally.
And then, who's that boy? The American boy?
Mason Mount, Pulisic. Christian Pulisic.
Those are three players that are attacking. Tell me who else is attacking in that team. Nobody. You've got Conte, you've got Coutinho in the midfield. You've got Zabaleza. He's a right wing back, and you've got Chilwell on the other side is a left wing back, and Chilwell is a left back, Zabaleta is a right back, and then behind them you've got James, you've got you've got six. So the thing is, like, here's what I'm saying, like, it's a great time for English football to celebrate, you know. It's been a while since this is happening, but it's just that now I wish that, you know, but no matter what happens, Manchester City need to win because the football needs to evolve, needs to go forward. Because if Man City doesn't win, people are going to start looking at how Chelsea won it. Now they're going to, teams say next season they're going to start playing with 6 defenders, 7 defenders. Yeah. We want to go forward to play proper football.
No, look, I'm just taking the I have no doubt City are winning this game. I feel like it's going to be more than 2-0 just because I feel like when City get in the groove, it's going to take a bit more than 6 defenders to stop them.
I agree.
The reason I wanted to talk about this game, Swallows versus Sundowns, you know, Sundowns are, I guess you could say, in a very weird headspace, you know, losing quarterfinals, seeing their own supporters, or allegedly their own supporters, as you guys said, we don't know if they are diehard Sundowns fans, doing what they did to their beloved ex-coach, so to say. So what do you guys think is going to happen with Swallows versus Sundowns?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It'll be interesting to see what the coaches do in terms of team selection. Are they going to give the fringe players a full run, which I'm sure they will? I don't know how greedy they want to get in terms of how many points they want to win the league by.
If they do give the fringe players a run, I see Swallows performing or getting another draw. I'm going with a 1-1 draw, a pretty dull game as well.
Sean, don't sleep on this game, man. Come on.
I'm doing it.
You're doing the game?
A dull 1-1 game, a 1-1 draw. That's what I'm saying, boy. That's what I'm saying.
I was with the Salah's coach on Monday. He said he wished to play Sundowns when they won the league. Oh. That tells you something. He wants to enjoy the game.
Man is hungry.
He's hungry. And I think it's going to be a very entertaining game from Salah's point of view. And probably maybe it'll be one of those games where Salah's will stop being an artist. And with Mamelodi Sundowns, it's given that's going to give so many players an opportunity to play, you know. Yes. And but with that in mind, he still wants to collect maximum points. You know, you want to finish the log, you know, the highest point possible. And also you must understand that they want to make history of losing just one game. So they wouldn't go into this game, you know, with the mentality that we've lost. And I think it's going to be, for Sundowns, it's going to be business as usual. But for me, it would be interesting to see how Moroka Salos will, you know, handle this game. But for me, I think it's going to be one of those 1-0. I'll give it to Moroka Salos, 1-0.
Wow.
Yeah. The Swallows?
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting. Sure. From Europe to Africa and those predictions. Europe to Africa. That's one hell of a journey. Sean,
into the car of the week. I see.
Do you know what the best thing for a journey?
Quack, quack,
quack. Quack, quack, quack.
The car of the week.
This one belongs to Kermit Erasmus. He was seen featuring the new Hyundai Santa Fe. A really big Hyundai, which in spite of its silly name is actually quite appealing on a practical family-first kind of level. The Santa Fe is what they call a D-segment SUV, which means it competes with the Skoda Kodiaq and the Land Rover Discovery Sport, two cars which we very much like indeed. Mid-sized SUVs like the Santa Fe appeal because they are usually smaller, cheaper, more economical, and less brash than conventional SUVs like the Land Rover Discovery, the Volvo XC90, and the Audi Q7. But you still get 7 seats. Granted, in most, the two rearmost seats are only for kids, but who sits fully grown adults in the back there anyway? A lofty driving position, a degree of off-road ability, and the ability to tow caravans, horse boxes, and so on. And of course, there's the image, which nowadays is even more important than whether the car is, you know, any good.
Mm.
Overall, has the makings of a great family car, if lacking a little bit of excitement. Comes in at around 800,000 Rand, which is a bit steep. I give it a 7 out of 10.
7 out of 10. Yes, I think last week was 9 out of 10. Yeah. Quite like last week's one. Fair enough. So, Sean, I believe it is your turn to provide this week's motivational quote. Let's inspire some people.
Yes, I really love what he puts on Insta, and I actually stole it and I uploaded it myself. He says, when life blesses you financially, don't raise your standard of living, raise your standard of giving.
I saw that. I really enjoyed that, Sean.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, I'm a bit disappointed now that it wasn't from you, but it's fine. It's okay.
That's a bad quote. That's a nice one. I like that.
Yeah, it really is. It's better than your one last
week. I just want to know who wrote it for him.
Exactly.
No, dude, let me tell you, Sean. I respect quotes and inspirational stuff that goes on Instagram and whatnot. All I want, Sean, for me is be that guy. Live by your quotes.
Yes, sir.
You know, don't come here and tell us that you put in the work, but when you put on the t-shirt, you can see the big belly is showing, but you're saying you're working. You know who I'm talking about.
I know exactly.
Yeah, so no, be that guy. Be about your goals. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Absolutely. And that is how we wrap up episode 75 of The Car Wash, proudly brought to you by Heineken. Whether you have been listening in on slpodcast.co.za, Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or Mahiking 96.7 FM Game Time, thank you so much for joining us today. I have been your host, Aiden. That has been Mr. Sean Roberts. And that has been Mr. Teko Modise.
Thank you, sir. You did well today.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're fantastic. You're great.
We will see you all same time, same place next week. Cheers, guys.
Peace.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. This is a Sangana car.